I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
Skills that would be impacted are high-end gas stoves for the, you know, the most expensive gas stoves. And the reason why they were found to be inadequate is because in many cases they have very heavy grates, and the burners can be an oval shape, which causes an excess amount of natural gas to be emitted relative to the pot that's on there. So it's just it's a wasteful use of natural.
Why are you in our kitchens looking at our pots? So what I want to know, lady. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of our third hour this Friday. I know. And make sure you sign up. Chapter and verse. Good things that come out. And you can find our discussion with Simon Atiba up at Facebook, YouTube as well. It'll be up there. So when did she turn into a right-wing conspiracist?
Yeah. Good question.
Now, I ask this because, I mean, we were told that to talk about gas stoves being banned was a right-wing conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Even though they said that they were going to go and ban stoves. Even though, what was it, that Nepo baby? What's his face? Trump, T-R-U-M-K-A, his kid. He is a Nepo baby. His daddy is head of AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka. So it's that Nepo baby that's running, what is it, consumer, whatever, something, some stupid thing we don't need. And he's trying to tell everybody what you know. We've got other problems, guys. I don't need Uncle Sam peeking his top head into my kitchen, looking at my pot and what type of gas burner I'm using. If I wanted to just set a fire on my counter and you know, roast s'mores over that, then I'm going to do it because I can. Thought this was America. I'm going to do it because I can. But now, so they are now saying that they do want to go after stoves, but only some of them. Is that right? Am I hearing that correctly?
That's right.
You're going to get an old wood stove, Kane?
Yeah, I'm just going to go completely the other way.
You're going to go full Laura Ingalls.
That's it. Doing Little House on the Prairie. Wood stove. That's all.
If you're going to do a wood stove, get like a bougie one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if there is one, but get one that's all like cool looking.
With the water tank in the back and everything.
Yeah, get something bougie. Yeah. Just saying. This whole thing is so goofy. Remember, they did these tests when they were coming to this determination about the stoves. They did this test on, I can't remember what type of stove it was or what how many burners that it had, but it was a test where they were looking at, you know, what kind of toxins or whatever it was putting out. And it was a sealed room with no ventilation, no hood, no nothing. It's almost like these people don't know how to cook, right? It's like they don't know how to cook. I mean, that's at least what it seems like. This is so, man. So they are coming. Or she's just a right-wing conspiracist. I'm going to go with that one. She's just a right-wing conspiracist. That seems, you know, that works. Let's just do that. So that's Jennifer Granholm. And I had a couple of other. What is the other one that I had? This one right here. Here it is. This is the Denver suburb that's voting to ban new gas stations from being built because of climate change. Denver suburb voted to ban new gas stations from being built because of climate change. It's the that city council of Louisville, Colorado, 30 minutes north of Denver, 20 minutes east of Boulder. They voted unanimously to approve a city ordinance that would cap the number of gas stations at 6. Oh, man. They limit the number, blah, blah, blah. Now, they may increase the cap to 7, but only if they get like a Sam's Club or a Costco, because they have the gas stations. This is the only exceptions. If I were Sam's or Costco, I'd be like, I'm not going with you ratchety people. Right. No. Now, they said that any new gas stations have to be built further than 1,000 feet away from an existing station, unless it's a retail center. A newly built station or expansion into existing one, here you go, must include building electric vehicle charging stations. You know, because batteries do so great in the cold. Yeah. It's like their preferred environment.
It's not, though.
It's equal to about 20%, and they have to have equal to about 20% of the total number of gas pumps at the station, but no less than 2. Oh, man. You guys know how much I hate EVs. Sidebar. I like tech, but because they're being pushed on me so hard, I am so anti-authoritarian that I will be against normal everyday items. Yes. Just because I feel like it's everywhere.
American
right?
DNA.
Yes. They said that gasoline stations may also be banned. They said that they want to encourage more electric cars. So they basically, the gas stations have to promote EV usage. Shut up. Oh, my gosh. So that's I can't. I'm done. They said they want to be a state that's 100% on renewable energy by 2040. Can I just reiterate that we don't even have enough rare earth elements to have everybody on it? We don't got enough for everybody. That means some people are going to have to walk or get horse and buggy. The thing that I hate about environmentalists is that they pick the stupidest way to go about their objectives. They sit here and they complain that oil and gas are dirty and polluty, for you know, making up a word, even though we have, without the government, developed the cleanest extraction methods before the government decided to get high and mighty and try to force companies into doing what they already were doing so that they could continue to make money. Environmentalists act like oil and gas isn't from the earth. It's dirty. It comes literally from the ground. And then they got mad with the big pipelines. We don't want another pipeline to safely transmit oil from Canada down to, you know, basically the ports in Houston, etc. We don't want that, even though you can't even, I mean, they covered all up. It's not near any aquifers and all this other garbage. It's not near any of that. No, they would rather everything go on rail. You know, which what was the average? How many derailments are there a month now that we learned after the?
I would say there's at least like 10, yeah. 12 a month.
They wanted everything to go on rail because that's more environmentally friendly to transport your fuel using more fuel that you want to ban.
East Palestine.
To have it, you know. Yeah, East Palestine. I mean, it's just kittens and sunshine there, right, environmentalists? And they say, oh, it's so bad. You know, like it's so ugly. But then they have no problem with strip mining stuff for rare earth elements. Dangerous, dangerous, toxic work. And then we don't even have enough of them anyway for everybody to be able to take part. We just don't. There's just not, and it's not a replenishing thing like oil and gas. People don't understand. It creates more oil. Petroleum, it recreates. Golly. It's also kind of why I I get worried about wildlife with oil spills, but the environmentalists go so, there's environmentalists and conservationists. They're very different things. The environmentalists, it's like never took a geology class and they see oil somewhere and they're like, this is so bad. It's from literally the earth. It's from there. And then they'll put up windmills that chop up birds like a giant slap chop in the sky. They just chop up the hell out of all those birds, eagles and everything else. And they're ugly. They are stupid. Oh, can I just, please indulge me for one moment. I have like a list of things in my head mentally. I never put it down, but everybody has things that they just loathe, right? Things that you see and you're like, like high-waisted jeans, right? Things like that. Any kind of platform flip-flop. Ugh, I don't get it. There's some other things that I don't like either. right? Why are you laughing? Glitter as makeup. Ugh! Windmills, the turbines. They're not windmills like cute Dutch windmills, right? Those are cute. These are ugly and sharp and huge and horrible. If you drive out to West Texas, you start seeing them up like it's like a alien spacecraft coming up out of the earth. They're ugly. There's fields of them. So ugly. It just ruins the skyline. And they chop up birds. Slap chop. So I keep seeing the EVs. If you meet anybody, not everybody, I have a couple of friends that have EVs. And I swear they get smug every time they get in the car. I don't know what it is. I think it like bestows upon you a certain jackwagon quality because they get very smug about their car. It's funny. I don't know. I say that, you know, facetiously, but I don't know, man. I can't. You always feel judged. Have you ever pulled up at a stoplight and your gas guzzler? I want less gas mileage, right? I want the lowest gas mileage possible. I want a half a gallon a mile or something like that. Yeah. I want, you know, a tank the size of a squirrel belly. That's what I want.
Hummer. A tank the toes of Hummer.
Anyway, you pull up at the stoplight and I swear it feels, there's this urge within me. I just want to gun it. Like I just want to, you know, drag race them right at the stoplight. I can't help it. And I have a lot of horsepower. Yeah, I drive a vehicle that basically puts hair on my chest because I can. So I just want to gun it when I get up there at the stoplight. I can't help it. Cars should be loud and smell like gas. And you should live in fear of the door. That's what a car should be. That's a car. That is an automobile.
That's for the 70s.
That's right.
The 70s are all about.
I want my car to basically try to hit on me and slap me on the ass. That's what I want my car to do. That's what it has to have that aesthetic.
Can we not?
Yeah, we are. I'm old school, though. I want it to have, like, the stash.
It's normal men.
Oh, man. That's true, though. That's what I want. That's the kind of car that I like. That's what I want. So, anyway, you feel my pain. My first car, and I'm going to move on. You know what my first car was? Well, it was a Buick Skyhawk, and there was a short in it that whenever I turned the wheel left, it went, ooh. And I was listening to the Stones one day. What song was it? Sympathy for the Devil? I can't remember. But it was the chorus, ooh, ooh. And I thought there was like a flat ooh in there every time I turned left. And I realized I was driving all over town and like weakly honking at everybody. And I didn't know because I was blaring the Stones so loud. Is this song. I was blaring it. I was listening to the song, blasting the Stones. And I didn't know that every time I turned left, it went, ooh, but it was a real flat. And I only noticed it when I was turning. And there, I was like, now, I've never heard that flat tone in the mix before. And I turned it down. And because people were looking at me. And I just thought, you know, maybe they liked my crappy car. I don't know. I was 16. No, it was that. It was apparently my horn was weakly honking at everybody as I drove around town. And it was like the most amazing cell phone ever. It was so amazing. No, after that, I had a Geo Metro, which only went like 65 miles per hour. And I had to basically pray to the Lord every time I got on the highway and like stab my feet through the floorboard to Flintstone it to get up to where I needed because they were going to knock my little roller skate all over the highway.
It wasn't doing 65 unless you're going downhill.
Yeah, it was horrible. They're death traps, and I drove one on 270, no less, Kane.
Oh.
Yeah, in Missouri. Everyone who is in and around Missouri is like, oh, girl, what? Yes. Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum sealed and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality, all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box. And make this summer one to remember with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Dow plunges more than 200 points amid panic that Deutsche Bank could be the next to go after shares in the European beast tumbled 14%. People are trying to contain what they call contagion. In New York, a cow escaped a slaughterhouse. This happens like every year, by the way. It marks the start of spring. A cow escaped a slaughterhouse and ran through New York City and Brooklyn. Its life is now going to be spared. I swear they did this on purpose. It was a four-month-old calf. It was being delivered from a poultry slaughterhouse. She escaped, started running around in the street. A video captured the incident of the calf evading people in the streets. They tried to round her up. She was eventually recaptured and then transported back to the farm she came from in Pennsylvania. And so she's going to live out her life at Skyland's Animal Sanctuary. That's awesome. So does someone else taste your filler spot? Depeche Mode's got a new album that is coming out. This is going to be their first after the death of their founding member, keyboardist Andy Fletcher, in 2022. Dave Gahan and co-founder Martin Gorge are going right ahead. It's out today, Memento Mori. I just remembered I pre-ordered it, so I got to check and make sure I got it downloaded. Coming up, John Wick is in theaters today. Are you going to go see it? And we're going to talk to the weapons trainer behind what is called Gunfu. Stay with us. Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15+1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at Kel-Tec Weapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
One of the great business stories of the year.
I think we're about 20% of the original size.
So 80% left.
Yes.
So
A lot of people voluntarily.
Sure. But it's 80% are gone from the day you took
over.
That's
correct. Yes.
So how do you run the company with only 20% of the staff?
Turns out you don't need that many people to run Twitter.
But 80%? That's a lot.
Yes. If you're not trying to run some sort of glorified activist organization and you don't care that much about censorship, then you can really let go of a lot of people, turns out.
I love that. I love that so much. He's like, yeah, if you're when you're not being an activist, then you can, an activist organization, then you can fire a whole bunch of people. That's true. That was part of the apparently part two. My friend Tucker was talking to Elon Musk, and I guess they're going to have the second part of that tonight. But that was from the discussion. I did think that was funny. They had so many people that worked there. How do you need that? And they all, oh my gosh, the weeping and gnashing of teeth when they were getting fired. Because it was, he's right. I mean, it really, they were treating it like an activist organization. Also, I think that your overhead gets a little out of control. That's one of the things that a lot of these digital startups and conservative new media sites too, particularly, they get so far ahead of themselves and they have all this infrastructure, but yet they don't have the stuff to fill it yet. And then they end up getting, a little turned around. And Twitter got to that point because they had all of these these people working there, and they just had them in activist positions. So he's like, that's amazing. You know, you don't really need all of that. It's pretty. They were all weeping and moaning about it. We were so okay. First off, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. We were having this discussion. We're a weird show because our staff, like Kane, is you're sort of like in the middle of Gen X.
Yeah, Gen X.
I'm like barely Gen X. I'm baby, little infant, baby, newborn Gen X, which I will be in Gen X. I literally will lie about my age and make myself older if I have to. I swear, hands to sky, I will. And then we had this conversation because we were talking about certain attributes of millennials that even, like, Steve's a millennial, and he even hates millennials. And we're like, Steve, you're the only millennial we like. And he's a baby millennial, and Juan is Gen Z. Juan is, where does he fall in Gen Z? So he's
right in the beginning of Gen Z.
Yeah. Right, so he's like an older Gen Z dude. He's older Gen Z. I think it's so arbitrary, by the way, how they cut these things off. It's really weird. I just think it's very arbitrary. And then wasn't there supposed to be, I was reading someone, or reading this piece from some sociologist who was saying that there actually is a micro gen between Z, or between millennials and X, because of the internet, the creation of the internet. And it was determined, which I think is stupid, but I mean, I guess I can understand the argument. And it was determined by whether or not you had the internet when you were in school, which doesn't really make that much of a difference. Dude, I remember I had like high school AOL chat. Remember that? I was a troll, man. I was such a troll. Everything was black. My font was black. Everything was black. And I would come in with like Slayer or something. I could like code it in and drop it. It was all like so stupid.
The best we had in my school was do you remember the K-Pros? Those K-Pro machines? They look like when the keyboard was attached to the top of it, it had a handle on it and you carried it around like a freaking suitcase. And you took the keyboard off the top of it, and it had its little screen, and you put your floppy disks in there.
I totally don't remember that.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was introduced to when I was young.
I remember. Do people have typing class anymore?
I had that when I was in.
Because they were phasing that out when I was in high school. Like, but I was a senior in high school before they started to not have such much of an emphasis on it. Right. And now I don't even think they offer it, along with home ec, or I don't think they offer shop. Do high schools have shop classes anymore?
They did when I was in high school. I don't know about now. I don't think so.
Did you really have a high school experience if you didn't walk past a shop class full of burnouts? Like at least once an afternoon? I mean, was it really a high school experience? I don't know. Or the nerds in the typing lab? Was it really a high school?
We did serious stuff in shop. We rebuilt starter motors. We rebuilt lawnmower engines.
You guys
engines.
Did cool stuff in there.
Yeah. We
did. I sewed a pig pillow in home ec. But I will say, I also learned how to balance a checkbook and do other adulting things in home ec. Where kids don't do that now. My oldest son was complaining about it. He was like, they didn't teach us this stuff in school. I'm like, really? I was like, they didn't teach. He's like, no. I mean, we had to take home ec. I think it was actually mandatory. I was in seventh grade and I had to take home ec. But when you were in junior high, you had to take 1 year of home ec, two semesters. And then one of my projects was I had to, along with a team of other similarly addled people, domestically addled people, because we're kids, we had to make like a whole, like, what was it, 3-course meal, and had the budgeting and everything. And then I had to create a pillow, and you could pick from a pattern. And I think it's funny now that one of my hobbies is now one of my final projects for. It's funny, but yeah, they don't teach us stuff anymore. They don't teach. And then I just wonder if that's because, have you heard kids complain about this now? It's Gen Z that I hear this the most from. They're like, oh my gosh, we didn't learn about any of this stuff. Balance a checkbook. What? I don't even use checks. I'm like, well, you still need to go and like look at your bank account and make sure that nobody's stealing from you. I mean, be obsessive about that stuff.
I think high school should have those type of classes in addition to how to fill out your taxes.
Yeah,
how
they don't teach any of that.
How to start an LLC. How to
address an envelope.
Yeah, just those simple things. We've totally abandoned all that stuff.
I had one of my friends, because we're sending out graduation. You send out graduation invites and all that stuff. And one of my friends she texted me. She was like, oh my gosh. She said, did you deal with this with your child? She's like, because I sat down with my son and we were filling out graduation announcements and invites. And she said, he literally did not know how to fill out the envelope. And I go, what? She's like, he literally did not know where to put what on the envelope. Wow. Well, okay, think about it, though. In his defense, really quick, how often do Gen Z people,
right.
do they get mail, right? How often? I mean, who sends you mail? It's either spam, military.
Right.
What else?
Circulars.
Yeah.
Credit card application.
Credit card applications. And that's kind of really it. Everything else is like Evite. It's all like something else, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm just a little fascinated by all of that. Yeah, they don't teach any of that stuff. I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know, or college stuff. You get college stuff. And that's kind of it. They don't get mail. Everything is Evite. Even like your bank stuff is, you might get like your summary, you know, your monthly statement, but that's it. They don't really get. So I was thinking about it. And then I check with my kid and I'm like, hey, do you know how to fill out an envelope? Now, remember, I homeschooled for a number of years. And thankfully, he reminded me that that's one of the things that we covered. Because we did a Flat Stanley thing. I don't know if you guys remember Flat Stanley. It was a little boy who was flat, and his parents sent him around to travel the world in an envelope, which was incredibly irresponsible. But, I mean, we wouldn't have had the book without it. So, anyway, would you say it's like quizzing Gen Z on rotary phones?
Yeah, on the rotary phone.
That is one of my favorite things to watch. Young Gen Z figuring out how to use a rotary phone is one of my favorite. Those videos are so, like, wholesome and genuine. These kids are like, how do you use this? And they pick it up and they're like, it's already on. How do you use this? It is so funny. Oh, it cracks me up. They think that they're fancy.
Right.
What is it? Sets in like this? It is, oh, it, I cry
between
laughing.
Themselves trying to figure out, so if I put my finger in the three hole.
And then if they mess up, they're like, gosh, dang it, I got to start all over. How do you text with this? So funny. I think my grandma had a rotary phone up until I was in legit, like in college, I think. I think that woman had a rotary phone. It was this old, like burgundy rotary phone. It did look fancy now that I think about it. I used to always want one of those fancy Victorian rotary phones when I was a kid. Goth aesthetic. Now I'm like, golly, All right, I have so many other things to hit. Okay, so can we talk about the wokery here? Really? Got to have some of this wokery stuff that we have to discuss. So I have a million things, actually, we have to hit. I don't know if I'm getting everything. And we're going to return to that Ralph Jarl case as well and discuss that. So this is from I read it over at Washington Free Beacon and a couple of other places, too. This is a Senate bill in the state of Washington, 5599, that would actually, when you read the text, would really actually allow children to be legally removed from their parents if their parents do not consent to gender transition procedures on their child. They said, according to the bill, shelters could contact the Department of Children, Youth, and Families instead of parents for minors seeking reproductive health services or gender-affirming care. By the way, sidebar, once again, gender-affirming care is totally a weird phrase to me because when I hear that phrase, I think of going to a doctor and the doctor's like, yep, that's a vagina. I mean, that sounds like gender affirmation, right? They're affirming that you have that. Not the experimental mutilation and the experimenting with hormones, which it is, because there's absolutely no long-term studies that show the impact of this. It's very dangerous. So the Senate bill 5599 said the proposal would pave the way for a more compelling reason to conceal a child who seeks sex change operations, blah, 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 blah. A Democrat state rep praised the bill's passing, blah, blah, blah. She says she supports kids who believe they belong in a different body than they were born. What if I identify as a billionaire? Unless you affirm me, you're a bigot. You absolutely have to validate my self-perception or you're a bigot. The Republicans obviously pressed against it, but it went through the Senate. So we'll see where it goes. But that's further. And that's incredibly troubling because when I was on Jesse Waters' program last night, a nurse practitioner. And it was a presentation to members of the Navy, and it was talking about two Navy parents about their children. And I don't know if that was, I don't think it was revealed as to whether it was a top-down DOD directive or whether this was a nurse practitioner. It was a really long and boring video, but the stuff that she was saying was like kind of eyebrow-raising. Well, kind of it was. And she was saying that, you know, starting from the age of 12, similar to what this bill is, that, you know, the government can intervene and you can, and the, your 12-year-old could tell, you know, this healthcare provider, et cetera, that they were wanting to transition or something, and that the government, according to that nurse practitioner, believed that they, the parents didn't have a right to intervene or really to even know. And it was also troubling because it sounds very similar to this Washington bill, and that your 12-year-old could talk to these people about their mental health and you not know. So imagine, you know, if your child is dealing with mental health issues and you're the parent, you don't know that they're feeling suicidal. You don't know any of this stuff. And no one's telling you. This is the government trying to take your kids. That's what this is. This is just bizarre that this is that without children's consent. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine now, kids? What we're going to do is we're going to take you to a gun range. And we're going to let you touch all these guns and shoot all these guns and take pictures with all these guns. Don't tell your parents. Don't tell them. Yeah, don't say a single thing about it, you know, because you're don't you say anything, ma'am, because your child, if they want to experiment with different types of firearms to see what they prefer, then they can. And you don't have to know. Imagine it's a variable. Switch it out. This is about undermining parental authority. Also, sidebar, can you imagine the response to that? Whoo, boy. Or imagine it's, you know, in our hedonistic secular society. Okay, we're going to take you to church and you're going to get baptized and you're going to go through all this stuff. And you don't have to tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. Shh, secret. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Now, in the city of Portland, REI, which is a lefty store. Isn't it a lefty store? What is REI? Oh, recreational equipment. I live in Texas. We got an REI where I live. I've never been in it. I've literally, you know, not that I dislike the outdoors, but I feel like that's the bougie outdoor place, isn't it? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah.
It's like the bougie stuff. It's like the stuff if you could go to Walmart or you could go to Costco or you could, you know, go, I don't know, a number of Dick's maybe, and you could get it for so much cheaper than REI. Am I correct in thinking that? Because it just looks bougie. The REIs are always by like the Whole Foods and stuff like that. So anyway, they said that they're closing their only remaining Portland store. Oh, why is that? They said it's the safety of their employee because the crime is so bad. No one's going to be able to go in and get their mountain gear and their South Butt merchandise. I mean, North Face merchandise. They're not going to be able to go and purchase it. In Texas, they go in there and come out with hiking stuff. I'm like, what are you? You're in Texas. Where are you going? You going to like out West Texas to the... What are you doing? Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
As a gun owner of many different types and a 20-year military veteran, I have some expertise in weaponry and self-defense weapons.
Sure you
what
do, Steve,
could you, in 15 seconds, would you define an assault weapon for me?
So
if you go past 15 seconds, I'll just interrupt you.
So I'll go shorter than that because I honestly, I do think that's a, if Congress wishes to take that up, I think Congress would have to do the work, but we would be there to provide technical assistance. I, unlike you, I'm not a firearms expert to the same extent as you may be, but we have people at ATF who can talk about velocity of firearms, what damage different kinds of firearms cause, so that whatever determination
this guy's a moron, you chose to make already would be informed. Moron alert, that's Steve Dettelsbach. He's like, well, I don't know jack crap about guns, but you know, I mean, I consider, I can make rules that are treated like pieces of legislation about guns, even though I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about any of that. Steve, he's got too many T's in his name. Give one up. You don't need, I mean, you know, you don't need that many T's. Just common sense, consonant control. Just saying, it's like all, you don't need that many. I'm just, you know, I'm just your ETF director. I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know about, I mean, I don't know about the velocity of the firearms and the, you know, the things that they do. But I'm going to regulate it because I'm the ETF director. Shoot your dog, too. Anyway, so I laugh, but it's not actually wrong. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's like having a third orifice. You don't need it, right? Just you really... for dudes. So, all right, we have another hour. I don't know what happened. We have another hour on the way. We got to get into some Law and Order. Can we talk about this Major League Baseball pitcher who was mad because his wife had to clean up popcorn on the plane? Yeah, we got to hit that too. Disney got its butt kicked. Game, set, match. We got the details. Stick with us.
So look, I know that a lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. If that's your dream, I'm your nightmare.
Does he know that he's not dreaming right now?
Does he know that he's already my nightmare?
Yeah, I mean, you're already nightmare. It's okay. Welcome, President Nightmare. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. Nobody in the Republican Party has been to, I don't know why he keeps saying this. Literally no one in the GOP has said they're cutting Social Security. Why is there... I just don't get it. Like, there's nothing that says at all, nowhere, nobody has ever said that they wanted to cut Social Security. This is something that he makes up and he just keeps repeating. It's like me saying Joe Biden says he wants to put out the sun. And then they would say, oh, well, that's dumb. You can't say that. Oh, well, you don't want to put out the sun now. So you agree with me that you don't want to, that putting out the sun's bad. Okay, then. Glad that I was able to convince you. That's what he did at State of the Union. That is that whole tactic. And then it'd be like me still going out there going, yeah, well, no, Joe Biden says he wants to put out the sun, you know, right? Joe Biden says he wants to kill all the old people. Democrats come out. Oh, Joe Biden's never said that. Biden says, I've never said that. That's not true. Oh, so you agree with me that killing all old people is bad. Okay, I'm glad I was able to convince you. By the way, he still wants to kill all the old people. That's what he's doing right here with this. Literally nobody has said that they wanted to do anything about Social Security. They want to make sure that people get what they paid into the government because it's their money. As I said yesterday, the problem has always been Democrats treat it like it's a jelly bean jar. I'm just going to take a little bit right now. Just going to have me a little bit. I'm going to give you a story. I'm going to try to tie this in a way that maybe... you might understand it if you're a drive-by and you struggle with math or numbers or logic. So when I was in seventh grade, I was in choir. Now this was in, gosh, the 90s. So do they still do the candy bar sales? I actually don't know if kids do that anymore today. Do they still do that? Or is our society so garbage that...
My kids are all older now.
Yeah, but is society so garbage that kids can't even do that today?
I hope not.
I'm curious. Because I just realized I haven't seen that. Anyway, so the choir, I was in a choir and we had to do like a fundraiser. We needed to get new choir robes, right? So we had candy bar. We did the candy bar sale and you had to sell X amount of candy bars, etc. And they weren't just any candy bars, mind you. They were the 100 grands. I know, right? You know 100 grand. Steve, you know 100 grand? What? Juan, do you know 100 grand? Juan knows 100 grand. Juan's over there like, I know that. That is, if you don't know what the 100 grand is, the 100 grand is imported from heaven. It is made by angels and carefully and lovingly packaged. And then sent down to Earth for all of us to enjoy. That's the 100 grand. I don't even actually know what's in it. I know there's some caramel in there and it's chocolate. And I just don't even know what's in it. It's just so good. I don't even care. That's the only time that you could tell me, no, that's those WEF crickets in there. And I'd be like, meh, just delete it. It's that good. Anyway, so we had this candy bar box, 100 grand, right? And I had to go and sell all these. I don't even remember how much they were. I think they're like a dollar because they were the bigger ones, right? They weren't the little bitty ones. They were the larger ones because it was a fundraiser. So it was special. So it was a whole dollar. And I don't even remember how many I had to sell. But I do remember one day I wanted a snack. We didn't have anything except pecan sandies. So that's what my parents like to eat. Like, I'm so sorry I'm going to say this, but that's like the old person's cookie, okay? It is. Pecan sandies. Nobody, what is that? That's not a treat. That's a punishment. It's sand from the desert mushed together with some nuts. That's what it is. It's a dry, horrible cookie. It's not even a cookie. It's torture. Worst thing ever invented. Sidebar, another reason why I can't be in office is I jail the person who make those. Anyway, back to my point. Had a box of 100 grand. I needed to sell them. And I sold some, right? I was selling some of these candy bars. And then I needed a snack one day. Went in to the kitchen. All we had were them damn pecan sandies. I'm like, you know what I do have, though? I looked at the box in my room. 100 grand. Huh. I'm just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to have one. I'm going to have one of them. Yeah, the fundraiser candy. And I'm like, I won't put a dollar in. I'll buy my own candy bar. It's all right. I can do that. So I had 100 grand. Now, the story would end there if I said that that was the only time that happened. But I was a peculiar child, and I really liked the 100 grands. And so I filled the box. I kept all the empty wrappers in the box so I would know how much money I owed myself from this fundraiser.
I owe me.
So I ate the whole box.
Oh my.
I sold like five.
Wow.
I ate, I don't know how many candy bars because they give you a lot. And when I told my mom, I said, I need to get some money because I owe myself money for the candy bars I ate. And I'll never forget, she opened up the box and it was like before Dumb and Dumber, this happened. when they open up the box and it's all IOUs. That was me with my candy bars. So she opens up the 100 grand box and she's like, the hell is this? And it's just all these empty wrappers. And I'm like, I just need a couple of bucks so I can pay myself back. And she's like, this is more than a couple of bucks, Dana. And she's looking at all of these empty wrappers. It was like $80. I ate like $80 of candy bars.
What?
So, long story short.
80?
Yeah. That, and I actually think I only sold two. That is what Democrats do with Social Security. They have your 100 grands in the box in their room. Then they want a snack. And they're like, just going to help me to one. Just going to help myself to one. I owe you it. I'll pay it back. And they keep going and going. And then the next thing they know, when they go to get another 100 grand, there are only empty wrappers in there. That is literally the story of how government deals with Social Security. So when Al Gore says that he's going to put it in a lockbox like he did back when he was running against Bush in the early aughts, that's not what he was doing. I mean, there was no lock on it. There was no box. It was just a candy bar box in his bedroom. That's it. So that's whenever you hear Joe Biden go out there and say, oh, they want to cut the, you know what they want? There's really, you can't say that anybody, you couldn't even say that Democrats wanted to get rid of Social Security at this point because it presupposes that it exists and it doesn't. All the money that you paid in is gone. It's all gone. Do you know where you're getting your money from now? The money from the people who are paying in for it now. It's a Ponzi scheme. I said this once on CNN, and the left went apoplectic. They were apoplectic over this. They were so mad that I'd said it because that's what it is. You can't get what's yours unless the people who are getting into it now are paying. So what happens when, you know, I mean, we're not going to have anything by the time we're old and retired and we got to have our Social Security cane. The boomers, they don't have any. All the boomers' Social Security money's gone. It went for very important things, guys. It went to like study lesbian obesity and shrimp on treadmills. And Ukraine really needed it. For what, I don't know, because there's never any accountability. But, you know, they needed it. I mean, their border is very important. No, not our border. Their border, I said, is very important. So it went for things like that, you know, and nation building and other stuff. That's why you don't have it. And so then, I mean, there it's insolvent. There, it just, you keep having to pay into it. So Democrats realize, oh my gosh, there's our cash cow. We never want to see it privatized. Privatization means you just get to have a choice as to whether or not you want to give your money to the bum on the corner, which is the federal government, or would you like to take it and put it in a nice actual bank that has a, you know, fiduciary responsibility. I'm just saying. Government is like the bum on the corner, isn't it? It's the same thing. That's Social Security. Security is the federal government being the bum on the corner.
I actually have more respect for the bums on the corner.
The bum on the corner is like, at least I'm a bum. I'm not in government. I'm like, you are right, sir. And they don't tell me, don't assume my gender either. Just saying. So for him to say this stuff, it's just goofy. Okay, so we've had the House oversight. We've been talking about the weaponization of government. What in the world is going on with the FBI and Catholics? Is there anyone they... Wait, I think it's better to ask this question. Who doesn't the FBI hate? This is one of the goofiest things I've ever seen. So there's a whole thing with the FBI and Catholics. They're suspicious of everyone. I mean, I would think that you're in a bad enough spot as the FBI with everything that happened with parents and school boards without having to go one further, right? So there's a leaked internal memo from the FBI. It's from Undercover DC. And it's from their Virginia office, their Richmond division. They want to protect Virginians from the threat of white supremacy, which they believe is headquartered in Catholic churches where they do Latin Mass. Oh, man, I am full of jokes right now. Oh, man, I have so many. I'm going to short circuit. Let's see if I can move on past myself. So they say that it is a potential domestic terror thing. They're intelligence analysts within the Richmond field office of the FBI. They released on January 23rd, a couple weeks ago, the report on racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, RMVE. They love their acronyms, and their interest in radical traditionalist Catholics, or RTCs. They said that they have high confidence that the FBI can mitigate the threat of radical traditionalist Catholics by recruiting sources within the Catholic Church. So the acronym, they said RTCs are, quote, typically characterized by the rejection of the Second Vatican Council. I don't even know what that means because I was raised Baptist and I'm non-denominational. And then they say that the preference for a Catholic Mass in Latin instead of the vernacular and a number of more traditional views on other world religions is adherence to an anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, and white supremacist ideology. And they make this gigantic leap that there's apparently a distinction between traditional Catholics who like traditional Latin Mass and pre-Vatican II teachings and RTCs who are extremist ideological beliefs and have violent rhetoric. What? That's who do they analyze for this? How in the world? And they have a number of articles. Guess who they use? They use a hate group. Southern Poverty Law Center is a hate group. And they also don't like any people of faith. That's what they came up with. This is crazy. We're going to deep dive into this more because is there anyone at this point that the FBI doesn't hate? It's a fair question.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, this apparently ChatGPT rattled Google. The tech giant's new AI bot, Bard, made a gaffe that wiped off $100 billion from the firm's value because it was rushed out to counter the growing threat from rivals. I didn't even know Google had its own little AI bot. It presented incorrect information as fact, and experts say it was rushed into announcing before it was ready because it's trying to compete against ChatGPT, which is crazy. But that's just, you know, telling you. Let's see. More than 50 million Americans are projected to bet on the Super Bowl. I wonder how much money is going to be lost. Who are you pulling for, Kane?
I'll go for the Eagles. I know I'm a Missouri guy.
Yeah, but we're St. Louis, though. And we hate... Look, right. Sports-wise, you're supposed to hate KC. Like, KC is supposed to hate SDL.
But, yeah, I think going for the Eagles this time.
All right. A couple returned home to find another couple impersonated them and then sold their house. That seems really wild. But that's exactly what happened. According to CBS 12... this is in Canada. A couple in Canada returned home from a trip to find two people had impersonated them and sold their home. They said that the homeowners left the country for a business trip. The two individuals who have not been identified hired a real estate agent and put the house on the market. They sold the house. They took possession of property through fake identification. And then after the sale, the actual homeowners learned their house was sold without their consent. That's absolutely insane. But they said, yeah, they sold their house and that, and I can't believe they haven't named the perpetrators. I completely would have. So coming up, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is slamming back the ATF's pistol brace rule. We're going to talk about that more. Stick with us.
Hello, I am Admiral Rachel Levine, the Assistant Secretary for Health at the United States Department of Health and Human Services. March is National Nutrition Month, and the Biden-Harris administration is taking action to support public health by offering evidence-based guidance on nutrition. The 2025 to 2030 Federal Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee just met for the first time to begin its review of the relationship between diet and health throughout our lives. This committee will make recommendations for the new dietary guidelines.
This is ironic that it's also like Women's History Month too. And you have Dr. Rachel Levine.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
You have that.
How many genders are there?
I don't know. I just got here.
So Dr. Rachel Levine talking about nutrition. It's, what is it? March Nutrition. March is Nutrition Month or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to say it? Who's going to say it?
You?
Yeah. So how, scale of 1 to 10, Kane, give me an honest meter.
I say 10.
Okay. All right. 10. 10. 10 it is. He's a fat dude who it thinks he's a woman.
True.
And you're telling us about health?
And, you know, nothing about Women's History Month either. So, yeah, both counts.
I mean, I just think that, and I'm not, you know, it's shut up with all the body shame. It's body, shut up. Do you want people to be healthy or not? I don't have any consideration for people who love making other individuals more comfortable in the harm that they do to themselves. You people are the worst. You don't care about your fellow man. You care about covering your own ass. That's what it's about. You don't want to have the finger pointed at you by other people like you. So you all eat your own and you all cover your own butts. And in the meantime, the people that you claim to have mercy and consideration for, you make easier and easier in their self-harm. So shut up. A million shut ups to you. But that's what this is. He's a fat dude who thinks that he's an obese to where it's unhealthy dude who thinks he's a chick and cosplays as a woman and wants to control pronouns and everything else. Totally backs child mutilation, pumping kids full of hormones that they haven't even studied the effect of. They haven't even looked at women like, you know, our parents' age who take hormones as they go through like menopause and stuff. Like all the things that are coming out about what they're going through now from, you know, taking hormones and all this stuff, dudes who take, I mean, all of it, it's so dangerous. And they're just injecting kids with this needlessly because it is trendy, because of social contagion, and because they think that it's somehow mercy. What's merciful about mutilation? What is merciful about injecting people with hormones that they don't need without any regard for long-term consequences? Don't tell me that it's informed consent. It's anything but. There's nothing merciful about that. There's nothing merciful than about cosplaying as a woman and then lecturing other women. There's nothing merciful about that. I don't think this guy's healthy. I don't think he's mentally healthy, and I definitely don't think that he's physically healthy, and I think he has no business at HHS. It's like putting Colonel Sanders in charge of safeguarding the chickens. And you can get mad. People, drive-bys can get mad as much as they want to, but you know I'm right. And that's the thing deep down, and that's what makes them so mad. They know I'm right. They know you're right. So no, He didn't mention He didn't mention the anything about Women's History Month. Yep. Ironic, don't you think? So I want you to listen to this. So in one school, this is wild. This took place. Where was this? The Isle of Man. I think I shared this some. I think I put something in here yesterday. I don't even remember. Yesterday I put this in at some point. It was this school teacher. Isn't this in the Northeast? Let me. I want to make sure I get the location right. Let me pull in my notes here. Okay, so yeah, it was the Isle of Man. It was a drag queen that forced a kid to leave the class because the kid denied 73 genders. The school teaches anal sex to 11-year-olds. Yeah, this is wild. This is from the Telegraph. So this is in Britain, and this is what this is what's going on in Britain. They actually reported the other day that they're trying to put on hold the new relationships and sex education curriculum. They're conducting an independent review because there's been some ridiculousness happening. No pun intended. And so the curriculum, it's called RSE, Relationships and Sex Education. A lot of parents were very concerned because their kids, they said, they're not old enough for this. I mean, you're teaching 11-year-olds about this stuff. They said there's been a complete failure of safeguards, training, curriculum, assessment, everything. This comes on the heels of this drag queen forcing a student to leave the classroom because the student refuted the drag queen's insistence that there were 73 genders. And that's from the Telegraph. A petition from parents of students attending Queen Elizabeth II High School called for an immediate investigation. So it has been temporarily suspended. They said that we consider in a statement the attendance of a drag queen in class and alienating students clearly confused about the information discussed during the session wholly inappropriate. They said that you had elementary school kids being taught by a drag queen and being told there were 73 genders. One student responded there were only two genders. The drag queen said, quote, "You've upset me," and told the student to leave the class. And according to the group of students, apparently they were instructed on how to perform anal and oral intercourse. Elementary school kids. Another class was shown how skin grafts can be taken from a patient's arm to create an artificial penis for a transgender man. According to the parents, they said their children were too traumatized to even talk with them about what transpired. And so that is now, and apparently there's video of it. They said that they were concerned, and so they've paused it and they've initiated an investigation. Wow, you didn't think that anything bad was going to happen? This is an education. This is sexualizing children. It's propaganda. Tell me what an elementary school child needs to know about oral intercourse in order to pass into the next grade. That has nothing to do with education. These people are pedophiles. They are groomers. If you don't want to be called a pedophile, then don't be fighting to talk to other people's kids about sex. If you don't want to be called a pedophile, then don't be supporting grown-ass men going into classrooms talking to elementary school kids about oral and anal sex. Good grief. There's nothing about this that's educational. It's abusive. Just nuts. No pun intended. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 17.
The ideologies have also been included in the classroom discussions. And in one school, this was led by a drag queen.
They were divided into three groups. The first group I'll start with had a drag queen come in and the drag queen asked the question, how many genders are there? The children responded dutifully, there's two. The drag queen said, no, there isn't two. There's over 70, there's 73. One 11-year-old child got very upset by that and turned around and said, no, there's not, there's only two. The drag queen unfortunately then responded with, "You have upset me. Get out," and threw this child out of class. Next group was then taught about sex change operations. They were shown artificial penises, and they were then shown a skin graft taken from a girl's arm to use to put onto the artificial penis. The third group, they were taught this is wild. Oral and anal sex.
Wild, and this is happening in schools. And it's not just happening in Britain, it's happening here in the United States. See, it's this kind of stuff that they were trying to include, for instance, in curriculum in Florida. And that's when you had Al Sharpton that went down there and was like, no, this is black. What about any of this was black history? Because that they were talking about queer theory and these very topics. And they were trying to mask it as though it was actual black history. It wasn't black history. That was they were trying to exploit black history and use that as a veneer behind which they could teach your kids this stuff. I mean, black history was already protected by the Stop Woke Act. It's actually literally mandated by Florida state statute to be taught. So what this was sexual propaganda and sexualizing children. And the people who are promoting this are putting themselves on the side of those people. It's not education. So parents are winning, though. There have been a number of wins. I think, honestly, I look back on it, and there are a lot of downsides about locking down the country. Nobody wants a lockdown, but if I had to say that there was something positive that came out of it, I would say that parents were awakened to what their kids were being taught in school. Can you guys imagine how much worse this would be if parents hadn't found out? Can you imagine? I mean, it's bad enough that social media makes people, and there's studies out about this, that apparently makes people feel worse about themselves and their lives because they're constantly comparing themselves to people who use filters and only show the best parts of their lives. I hate social media. I hate even seeing posts from people I know. They're like, oh, like Sunday fun day, la la la. It's like, yeah, you know what? That's great. I just like, what's the point of sharing some of this stuff? That's why I purposefully share only weird stuff on social media. Because it's like, why? I'm not going to say it's stupid. You can't compare yourself to people online. Everything is so damn fake. Everybody puts a marzipan looking filter on them. They only show the best parts of their lives. They don't show. And then you compare your life to that and it makes you miserable. So not only do kids have that to deal with on social media and the increased peer pressure facilitated as a result of it, but now they got to deal with their teachers and this stuff in their schools. The only people who can fight for them are you, the parents. So if I had to be forced to say if there was one thing that came out of lockdown that was positive, it would be that parents saw all this. And they were able to intervene before it got any worse. Because I can't imagine how much worse it would be if parents hadn't found out. If we all hadn't found out. A lot of us knew. That's why I homeschooled. But if we hadn't found out, I hate to think what the state of everything would be now. We have Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Kane and I are absolutely fascinated by this story. And this is in North Fort Myers. So there's an Eagle Cam, right? I don't want to tell you, but everybody knows where it is. So Florida Fish and Wildlife are having to get involved because there's this eagle camera. So the mama eagle, like, apparently disappeared, and the daddy eagle has been left. It's at the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam. The daddy eagle has been left to raise the eaglets. So you got more than 190 people watching the nesting drama unfolding online at the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam. They got multiple cameras. They got chat rooms. It's crazy. And so they said that people are very worried because that daddy eagle's out there. He's like raising them eaglets. He's also got to get the food. He's got to protect his nest, you know, and he's already had to like fend off, you know, a couple of other eagles. And then this shifty female eagle named R233 has managed to land in the nest and then take food from him because she's a grifter. Well, anyway, Florida Fish and Wildlife is saying, please stop door dashing food to daddy eagle. I'm not even making this up. They're now having DoorDash is having to look because people are door dashing this eagle food. They got people that want to be the eagle's bouncer. I love the heart that these people have for this eagle. Florida Fish and Wildlife is like, we understand that your heart's in the right place, but y'all cannot be door dashing food to the eagle, okay? You can't. And there's on the camera, you literally can see door dashers showing up. Who does that? Like, who would actually, they're showing up to leave food for it. So Florida Fish and Wildlife are involved, and they're like, no, no, no. As long as the nesting is proceeding in a positive manner, we are not going to intervene. They said that there's been a handful of deliveries in the recent days, and they're like, you've got to stop. You can't, they've been putting it at the, they were trying to put the food at the base of the tree where the eagle was nesting. And they, and to Kane, to your point, they've been delivering fish. Yeah, so I don't know if it was like a fish fillet or something. I don't know. But they said they've been delivering food to poor daddy eagle who's just trying to get them eaglets raised. You know, he just wants to see them fledge and fly. You know, he just... So we're all praying for daddy eagle, but please do not DoorDash food to daddy eagle. Do not be a bouncer for daddy eagle. Florida Fish and Wildlife is watching it. I got a villager story from the villages. A man in a wheelchair and his female companion were arrested in an alleged shoplifting scheme at a Best Buy in Lady Lake. Matthew Merhoff, dude, his mugshot is something to behold. I mean, it could use it as an avatar for the Florida man on the show for, of all time. Matthew Merhoff was in a wheelchair in the store. He was being pushed by 21-year-old Miranda Sue Chapman. And other store personnel noticed that they were behaving quite suspiciously. And they were on surveillance. They were making contact with merchandise packaging. And then Merhoff, who Juan's going to show you on the simulcast, would then put an item in his jacket and zip it up. Store personnel contacted police and asked that Merhoff and Chapman be escorted from the store. And then they got loud and argumentative and refused to go. I don't know how you could refuse to go if I could just wheel you out, but okay. So they were told if they didn't leave of their own volition, they were going to be arrested. So they he was in possession of a bunch of stolen merchandise. He was booked at Lake County Jail on $2,000 bond. Yeah. And then if you think that your day is bad, well, you could be this Naples man who tried to steal a Caterpillar, like the truck. Like a literal front loader that's worth $60,000. According to Collier County Sheriff's Office, the Caterpillar front loader was stolen from a property in Everglades Boulevard, 7 a.m. Lazaro Perez was driving the front loader on a flatbed. He tried to literally steal it on a flatbed. He also had a ton of meth on him, and he was totally arrested. He's in jail now. So, yeah, you can't be doing that. That looks suspicious. Then you're going to draw attention to yourself stealing a Caterpillar. And don't DoorDash to eagles. Stay with us. We're done.
The budget will advance our efforts to modernize the State Department, including by expanding our training float, updating our technology, carrying out diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility initiatives, including to make our overseas missions more accessible. I'm grateful for the progress we've already made together, including Congress's support in updating DEI. The Secure Embassy Construction and Counterterrorism Act.
DEI and accessibility initiatives?
Yeah.
What does that entail? That's Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken is talking about, I want to modernize State Department. How about you modernize them to not nation build? That'd be great. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. Top of this third hour. This is the problem. Because they have one job, guys. One job. I was looking at the their whole thing. Secretary's Office of Diversity and Inclusion. It's a whole thing. They said, for instance, this is a statement. This is such a ridiculous PDF. One big page for this. I am committed to advancing our security and prosperity by building a diplomatic corps that fully represents America and all of its talent. With 21st century challenges. And then they get into literally DEI. The promotion, the inclusive culture. They get it. What does that have to do with just stop it? By the way, I'm just curious. Did they fly the rainbow flags when they're like in Saudi Arabia and all that? I'm just, you know, the embassy is there. Is that done?
I bet they didn't.
When you look at the, and I'm looking at it now, all of the stuff that they have. I mean, it is a big thing. It gets into things that I have no, like an inclusive culture. So much of this is word salad. Leverage training to promote inclusivity. What does that even mean? Conduct a department-wide DEIA climate survey. I don't know. This is so goofy. Why are they focusing on this? Hi, we kind of got some stuff happening. I don't know if you guys have been watching what was going down in Moscow. Some things have been going on, you know, a little concerning to all of us. We also have financial NatSec concerns. We have energy concerns. And in the meantime, they're focusing on this. Oh, and then don't forget they focused on the parents, too. New House report out from the weaponization of government out today. And I'm going to link this in your email prep for those of you who are subscribers over at Chapter and Verse on Substack. The title of this interim staff report from the Committee on the Judiciary and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government is titled A Manufactured Issue and Misapplied Priorities. Subpoena documents show no legitimate basis for the AG's anti-parent memo. It is, it's pretty stunning. The DOJ, through this documentation and information from whistleblowers, it shows that there was absolutely no basis at all whatsoever for them to, no justification for doing what they did, which was classifying, following parents, surveilling them, classifying them through their terror protocols as terrorists. This is wild. It's pretty extensive, too. And it was absolute collusion. They were calling parents terrorists. They used the Patriot Act. By the way, I have taken a lot of heat for that over the years. I feel entirely vindicated. Thank you. What gets me is you have people saying, oh, you got to watch out for TikTok spying on everyone. What about the government through the Patriot Act spying on you? We just saw it right here. That was the whole, well, we're going to sacrifice a little freedom for security. Well, you know what Ben Franklin said about that. So the Patriot Act was used to go after parents who expressed criticism over school lockdowns, who expressed criticism about CRT in the classrooms, the gender, the drag queen, all of that stuff, inappropriate sexual brainwashing, any of this. According to the report, it says, quote, internal executive branch documents indicate that the Biden administration's use of federal law enforcement and counterterrorism resources is an example of government weaponization against American parents. And if the Justice Department performed any due diligence prior to the issuance of the AG's memorandum, it would have understood clearly and forcefully that federal intervention, the report states, was unwarranted because the due diligence did not occur. And the administration acted out of political motivations rather than for law enforcement reasons. Parents around the country had FBI assessments opened on them, says the report. Now, they're still investigating it. You had the National School Board Association colluding with the DOJ, colluding with the Biden administration, colluding with the Department of Education and even the White House to push for a further, more aggressive federal investigation into parents. Now, with this too, the draft language, remember it was the draft language of the letter, the National School Board Association had drafted language of its letter with the White House that it sent to the DOJ. So that, remember, we all know that. And that raised, apparently, there was no concerns with abusing Patriot Act counterterrorism measures to track parents. Just unbelievable. And remember, there were a lot of school boards that left the National School Board Association. They left them. A number of school districts ditched the organization. And Merrick Garland, back in October of last year, said that he stands by the memo where they were targeting parents at the request of the National School Board Association in a letter that they wrote with the White House. I mean, I don't know how it gets more weaponized than that. And so there hasn't really been at least from what we've heard from Jim Jordan, there hasn't been any cooperation from the White House with any of this. They said that between all the whistleblowers that have come forward and everything else, though, it's bad. This was bad. They wanted to manufacture a threat so that they could look like victims because they had no other defense of their behavior and treatment of parents. So they needed to look as though they were the ones who were being targeted. And they are mad because it took out Terry McAuliffe, who I think at one point they were also grooming him for maybe potential VP consideration or something to that effect. But this is, I mean, it is, I mean, the fact that you had the National School Board Association drafting a letter with the White House that was then sent to the DOJ to spy on parents using the Patriot Act and classifying them as terrorists. There were no threats. Local law enforcement told that to U.S. attorneys who are investigating this. But Garland didn't verify that before he launched into his tirade on parents. There were no threats. There was nothing. There was no quote unquote disturbing spike. There were no threats. There was nothing. What they were trying to do, they were trying to get ahead of that election. They were trying to use the government to put the finger on the scale again of an election and help Terry McAuliffe, and it backfired. Parents were too quick. Media hasn't covered this. Can you imagine if Republicans were watching progressive parents? Golly. That's why all this stuff makes the goofy J6 committee look stupid. Where is their concern for the weaponization of things like this? You know, someday you could get a Republican in office that is kind of a tyrant. You don't know. Get somebody like me in there. You open the door to weaponization of government, and guess what? Somebody worse than you may come along and use it. Now, Kane just told me, Kane, you've been following what the Fed's doing.
Yeah, they raised the rates 25 basis points, just 0.25%.
So now it's, yeah. This, and they were expected to. This was something that they were looking at. Is this going to be enough, though?
Oh, no, there'll be continued rate hikes. According to what was said in the announcement was that you can expect rate hikes in the future. They still have to tighten up the economy at this point because inflation is still an issue.
Yeah. They said this is coming in from Reuters, so this is all just hitting. They're saying that the raise in rates, apparently a lot of the economists are pretty divided on it, but still, we kind of saw this was coming. So this is just this quarter point rate hike this week.
Just so you know, this is the ninth rate hike in a row. Every time the Fed has met and every time there's been a consideration for an increase in the rate hike, there has been one. So this is the ninth rate hike in a row. That's how bad inflation actually is.
Mm. So a few other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting. And like I said, I'm going to make sure that you also have that report from the House Oversight Committee. That it's pretty eye-opening as well. Have you seen the the collected... How do I put this? All the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop apparently is online and searchable. And there's new stuff that they added.
Yeah.
Like stuff I can't even show.
Yeah.
It's bad. Bad.
I thought it was just Russian disinformation, though.
And isn't there... How do I put this? Wasn't there some... I don't know how to say it. Family photos or something like that.
Yeah.
Like not in that way,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? That were on there.
Yeah.
He apparently has a major gallery of gross stuff. And it's, I don't even know how to say it. It's bad, but they have it where it's like entirely searchable. Did I send this link to you guys?
No.
Oh my gosh. This is bad. It's called Biden Laptop Report. MarcoPoloUSA.org. I'll put the... Because it's a lot, but it gets into drug-related crimes, sex-related crimes, influence peddling, legal accountability, business-related crimes, background. I mean, some of the stuff is not... And it has receipts. It shows who got what, when they got it, where they received it in terms of money, et cetera, et cetera. It is pretty unbelievable. And it is 644 pages. And... you can search for things all online. And it gets into, for instance, apparently in one iMessage that was sent on July 11th, 2018, Hunter Biden bemoaned to Joe Biden. He said, "You said it was unfair to keep the kids away from Ashley when she was using drugs." And this was apparently, I guess people didn't want kids by Hunter. There's a whole bunch of stuff about that. All kinds of stuff. Hookers and cocaine. And I mean, he's got all these pictures of him smoking crack. It is wild. It's too much to get into. I cannot even believe that something like this, that there's this much that exists. It is one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen in my life. And for instance, one of the pages, and I'm looking at one of these things, he complained even about like Trump's kids, all this stuff. And I just can't. I mean, it's a lot. I'm going to put this is not anything that I can like go into in depth on air because there's so much. But this was, by the way, apparently from all the stuff that's on this also includes that those photos that he took where he was measuring. He was using a Cheech and Chong G4 scale to weigh his crack. It says it on there. It's branded. Oh, man, it's bad. Anyway, it's all for... You would think that the media would be talking about this. They're not. They're not.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
An elevator malfunction during maintenance caused New York City's new $3.3 billion One Vanderbilt skyscraper to shake and terrified workers to flee the 93-floor tower, says the owner. They said that for the 14th, 51st, and 60th floors all shook dramatically, and they said it was caused by repair work to the elevators. That sounds slightly terrifying. Just there you go. Oh, boy. Rolling Stone writes this thing about how the FBI raided this journalist's home, but then they didn't tell people why. Apparently, the FBI had raided this journalist's house, and it was, well, it's because he's a child predator. And Rolling Stone was not apparently forthcoming about it. It was the journalist was ABC News national security producer James Gordon Meek. And he was like a producer for a whole bunch of stuff. But when like Rolling Stone did this piece on him, they, you know, were talking about his national security status, et cetera, or his position. But they didn't actually say that that's why his house was raided. So go media. Go media. They just said he was raided, but they didn't say why. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Finishing up this hour.
We just added, because I think it needs to be done, no tax permanently on gas stoves. They want your gas stove, and we're not going to let that happen. And we're not even a state. The way Florida was built, a lot of this wasn't even connected to gas lines. You got a lot of electric stuff. But it's just the principle of, you know, this is ridiculous that they do want to go after it. They got blowback, so they kind of had to back off. They want to go after the gas stoves, and so we're saying, you know, we want you to be able to buy those free of charge from.
Oh, I like that. Yay. That's good. That's what they're doing in Florida. That was the governor there. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, the bottom of our third hour. And honestly, so much of this got started with like women freaking out because they bought into this whole climate change thing, which is theory, but they bought into all of this and then were told, well, your gas stove is going to hurt your child, so you better get rid of it. And then it just ascended to a shriek and went from there. That's how all of this started. Golly, I can't imagine. There's so many things that, and remember the study that they based all of this on was they put a gas stove in a room that had no ventilation. They purposefully sealed up like a box and had no ventilation on purpose, none of that. And that's what they're basing all of this on. That was the actual study that they did. And they don't tell people this when they're sharing, because, you know, that's what you do. You literally work in an airtight box. And you have your stove with you in your airtight box. I mean, that's why you have rain. That's why you have hoods. I mean, it's just so goofy. They had to do that and lie to you. And they're actually trying to tell you what to do in your own home based upon a ridiculous lie. It's just asinine. Leave it alone. So apparently they didn't find any secret documents after what, a almost 4-hour search in his this beach house. Yeah, no, apparently there were no documents found. It's interesting. The National Archives was blocked from releasing a statement on anything that was found at Biden's think tank. Did you know that? Because I didn't know that. Apparently, this is what James Comer said. This was something that came out in today's House Oversight, their meeting. He raised this question last night. It was mentioned again today. He said that the only two entities that have could have given that order are Merrick Garland at the DOJ and then the White House. Those are the only two entities that could have given the order. And so now the White House is under fire for not being transparent. So the National Archives were prevented from notifying the public that classified documents had actually been discovered at his CCP shared think tank back in November. And so if that's the way, so you have the president of the United States and his crony over at the DOJ who were all working in concert to suppress this so as to affect an election. And yet you're charged with misinformation. It's amazing. They always are guilty of what they accuse everybody else of doing. This happens every single time. They're the ones who end up being guilty of doing this. Fascinating. Now they hid it. They hid it, and ultimately it was Democrats that leaked it out in the first place. I think it was maybe it had to be somebody within DOJ, I think. Good heavens. All right, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we hit on, because we've been kind of following a number of things today. Let me pull this up, because apparently this was this morning, earlier today, the president had called a lid already. Of course he did. Right after brunch. Isn't it nice? So per the pool report, they called a brunch lid from like 9 to 12:30. That's so they couldn't answer questions. So the reporters who were there, the White House press pool who follows the president, so they couldn't ask any questions. That's why they called that. Mm-hmm. Interesting, is it not? Very, very. All these people all working together to make this. Always something. All right, wokery, because I have more. A cosmetics company is accused of erasing women with an ad that featured a bearded man with lipstick ads, in their lipstick ads. NYX. I actually use one of their eyeliners. I will not be anymore. Because I can't work with a company that doesn't know what a chick is. I mean, I just don't feel like they can formulate cosmetics that work with women if they don't know how to define what they are. NYX, I mean, you can get this anywhere. They're being accused of erasing women with their Smooth Whip lip cream. It's basically just like a liquid lipstick. They had an Instagram post featuring a dude with a beard, and they said that they were selling their product with it. They used a bearded man to advertise lipstick to women. And the women are infuriated. They were slammed in the comments. Slammed. They said, men are men and women are women. Stop trying to erase us. People were saying, not attractive at all. Stop erasing us. Apparently, said one, you don't need us as your customer base any longer. I'll leave your product like you left me, tired of being marginalized. Not good, said another, for your company using a man. What are you thinking? And so, I mean, someone was accusing them, there aren't enough women that you can use in your advertising. You had to use a man. Ooh, true. I'm so tired of seeing this. I'm so tired of companies doing this. Remember when, what was it? It was Ulta. Ulta had like a whole thing where they had on these two dudes who were talking about how tough it was to be a woman while they were trying on makeup. Man, and they're black and white women are slamming this. Everybody, and I probably right and left. They're all united. Males taking over a female industry. Yeah, I won't be using NYX anymore. That's for damn sure. I mean, if they're going to erase women, then, you know, why would I want to? I'm not going to support this kind of. They say it's cruelty free. It's not cruelty free. You're erasing women. That's actually the opposite of that. That's it's. Gosh, I'm just that I don't think that's going to work very well for them, because usually when these companies do this stuff, it ends up backfiring. It backfired on Ulta. I don't shop at Ulta anymore because I was absolutely dumbfounded when I watched them put two dudes sitting at a table talking about how difficult it was for them to cosplay as women while they were putting makeup on. You know, like, we women are dealing with some real issues. I don't need no makeup company or no retailer who sells makeup to put two dudes who are entitled and privileged as all hell at a table together talking about how tough it is for them to cosplay in women face to, in order to try to sell their services as a retailer for cosmetics. It's just, it's, man, these people are playing a dangerous game here. They're going to lose their customer base. So NYX, you can find it. It's like at Walgreens. It's like at all these different places. It's not a high-end thing. It's so I won't be using their stuff anymore. That's for damn sure. Until they can realize what women are. That's true. So this story, police in Connecticut. Have you guys heard about this? This has happened before. And it happened again early this, actually, this is on Monday. So this stems from a case. The latest took place because it's been in court. This stems from a case that started in 2019. Have you ever heard the phrase free range parenting? So free range parenting is basically parents not being helicopter parents and allowing their kids to do things. And these Connecticut parents, they allowed their kids ages 7 and 9 to walk to Dunkin' Donuts, and some person who wasn't minding their business decided to freak out and call the police on these parents for this. And the Dunkin' Donuts, literally, it was like 3 blocks away from where they live. And it was the small, it's Killingly, Connecticut. It's this little, you know, town in northeast part of the state. They lived right by their elementary school, the library, the state police. They have all kinds of sidewalks and crosswalks and all this stuff. And they were right by the donut shop. So the kids had $7 and they wanted to go to the donut shop. It's the Rivers family. And so they decided, the kids who are 9 and 7 years old, they're old enough, they can walk a couple of blocks to the Dunkin' Donuts by themselves and get a donut. And they said that, you know, we didn't think anything of it. You know, their kids are, you know, old enough. They know how to, you know, traverse a sidewalk in a small town. And, you know, and they said we felt that what we did was safe. So the kids got $7 and they went off on their walk. Well, the Rivers said that a few minutes later, the police knocked on their door. They said the first cop who showed up, and this is via Reason, said he did not think it was safe for the kids to walk by themselves. And we told him that while we did feel it was safe, we agreed to not allow them to walk around town unsupervised. The mom said that she thought that would be the end of it, and then 3 more officers showed up. The first cop sent the dad to go get the kids. They only were 2 blocks away. Then mom and dad and the kids faced a ton of questions from the police. They told us it wasn't safe for the kids to walk down their street. There were registered sex offenders everywhere that could kidnap them. Drug dealers are going to give them drugs, all this stuff. And when she was trying to counter what she was being told, one of the officers had said, well, do you watch the news? There was a police report filed against them. And they were pressing the family to search the sex offender registry to see if their neighbors were on it. The officers claimed that they had received a dozen 911 calls about the kids walking the 2 blocks during the short period of time they were gone. Rivers thought it was unlikely because they only walked past 4 other houses. But they charged the husband, the dad, with risk of injury to a minor. They charged the mom with the same thing. And then they arrested the husband and took him away. They arrested the dad because the kids walked 2 blocks to Dunkin' Donuts in their tiny little town in Connecticut. Wow. And so they had to get a lawyer. A sergeant 2 days later visited the house to let them know they were dropping the charges. He admitted the law concerning negligence was open to interpretation. And the families told the lawyer that the services maybe wouldn't be necessary. But that wasn't the case because the charges went away. But the Department of Children and Families, they got involved. They have such great track records. So the DCF caseworker, Reason notes, visited the family twice, interviewed everyone about their total history, and was trying to find some problems. And the family was trying to tell the caseworker, look, the police even admitted that they had overreacted. But the caseworker said, no, you jeopardized your kid's safety. And the when Rivers revealed, when the caseworker found out that she had baby blues at some point, because it's common, they weaponized that against her. They ordered her back into therapy. And they thought, I mean, it took for forever. They said it had a negative impact. The kids were not allowed to walk outside unsupervised, all kinds of stuff. This is insane. Who was the first off? I want to know. I'm very curious as to who even alerted the police in the first place, because this isn't the first time something like this has happened. There was another story that was in the Northeast Coast where two kids literally walked down the road. They could see the playground from their front porch. There are photos online. And they walked down the road to go play on the playground. And they were older. I think the youngest one in this case was like 9 and the oldest was 12. And they walked down the road to go and play on the playground, and some ninny nanny, some busybody, bee from across the street decided to call the police because they said that it was unsafe and the kids were. That is absolutely asinine. So the police showed up, DCF showed up. It was like a whole thing. Now, what gets me is that they immediately, like, no one goes and talks to the parents. If you have an issue, you immediately have to call the police. What a horrible society we live in. You know, this is probably one of the reasons why kids are so screwed up, because you have parents who are out there. When I was younger, I had a miniature three-wheeler. I took that three-wheeler and I would drive, like, I would take off down, in southern Missouri, down in the Ozarks. I'd take, I'd probably go probably a mile or 2 miles, and I'd go to the river and play by myself and catch tadpoles and all kinds of stuff. And this was like in the 80s. This is like in the mid to late 80s when I was doing this.
We are going to be implementing this year, and I'm saying to people that Joe Biden has earned another term.
Has he, though? That's interesting, because that comes from James Clyburn. And as you know, James Clyburn is the reason why Biden's even president in the first place. If it hadn't been for James Clyburn saving Biden back in 2020 during the primary, going into all of that, he would not have won that. He was trailing. He was doing horrifically in the early primaries and caucuses. And by the time he got to South Carolina, if he didn't take that state, he was out. And James Clyburn ended up being the reason that he got that. Because James Clyburn brought out the vote for him in South Carolina. He told Democrats to go vote for them, vote for Biden, and made that happen. So that might be a sign from Clyburn that, okay, well, if there are Democrats within the party that are doing this, that might be a sign that he's, he might be, he might be entering this fight. So that'll be something to watch for sure. Something to watch for sure. Make sure that you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of stuff that goes out on that regularly. There's a couple of pieces coming out to you about that too. In addition, and make sure you find us as well on Facebook, and you can like and subscribe Facebook and YouTube. So far, we haven't been buried on either, but remains to be seen. All right, today in stupidity, Steve's got some good ones.
All right, as soon as you thought COVID was out of the news, it just comes right back again with all this stuff about the bill yesterday. But here's Sheila Jackson Lee. I got a double doozy for you. So here
we go. We moved. We lost a million people on not having that vaccination timely, and so I am struck by this legislation. The pandemic is not over. Shots. They're booster shots. That's why we are living, because we were vaccinated, because we overcame the stigma and the wrong-headed information that was scaring people about vaccines.
Which info? We didn't lose.
What? What? There's so many things there that are wrong, that are not, so that it's that vaccine mandate that they say is going to be going away. So we're going to see.